Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, Huntington's disease is one of the most devastating inherited brain disorders, and until now there's been no way to even slow it down. But a new gene therapy trial has showed signs of progress. Dr. Lauren Byrne is a principal investigator at the Huntington's Disease Centre at UCL. She's a trustee on the Huntington's Disease Association Northern Ireland. She joins me now. Welcome to the programme, Lauren. For those who aren't familiar, would you mind just explaining what Huntington's is and how it affects people, please?
Hi, Jonathan. Great to be here. So Huntington's disease is a genetic brain disease. So people that have a parent affected have a 50-50 chance of inheriting it themselves. So you just need one gene and then you will eventually get the disease. It tends to affect people around the ages of midlife, 30 to 50, with earliest signs involving inability to function and daily living, movement symptoms, and also someone's ability to think, and it can change their personality. And these get progressively worse to ultimately they need full-time care to end of life.
How quickly does the disease progress?
It takes quite a long time. It's quite slowly progressive. So someone, maybe from the first time they have symptoms, it can take 15, 20 years before they reach the end stage.
And we know that if you have one of those genes, it's an inevitability rather than a high likelihood?
Yeah, so it's what we call fully penetrant. So you just need one copy. So we get a copy from each parent, and you just need one of the kind of mutated or bad copies, Huntington copies, and that results in a definitive, you will get the disease. It's slightly more complicated because the type of mutation that causes Huntington's is a repeat of letters called CAG in the Huntington gene, and the number of those letters increases the how early someone will get it. But over a certain amount, it's considered fully penetrant and you will get the disease.
Right. And what is it like for a patient to find out that they have this disease, or is it something that is now pretty standard, that people are aware of it because it's one of two parents, one of which has Huntington's?
Well, it's an interesting history, actually, because there's been a lot of historical stigma in Huntington's, and particularly in Huntington's disease families, because many years ago, they could have been discriminated against because of some of the behaviors being quite challenging. They often got characterized as being drunks or put in psychiatric wards. So there's been historical stigmatism where families have kept this pretty secret.
Right.
But usually there is a family history of it and people know their risk, but we do still have cases where people didn't know of the risk. I myself am from a quite large family in County Down. My dad was one of eight and he just passed away from Huntington's. But my grandmother was the first to get diagnosed. And so for individuals growing up knowing and seeing their parent get sicker, has a profound impact on young people, because you're watching potentially your future in front of you as well as being a young caregiver.
I'm sorry for your loss. I suppose it was something that you knew was an inevitability, but at the same time, I'm sure it's very difficult. Can I ask you, do adults who are in long-term relationships, do they generally tend now to just screen embryos to check for those genes? Is that typically, I mean, are we likely to see people living with Huntington's in the next 50 years?
Not really, because there's still a lot of people don't choose to get tested themselves,
right,
because of the lack of therapies that actually slow symptoms, and because of that historical keeping it secret. So there's been a big movement and advancements in our ability to stop it being passed on to the next generation through different screening, as you say, screening the embryo in utero, or there's also types of IVF treatment called pre-implantation genetic diagnosis.
Yeah.
That allows people that are at risk or have the disease or carry the gene to make sure that their children don't have it. I think that's currently our only cure. If you think of cure in the terms of really stopping the disease, but unfortunately, not everybody knows that that's available. It's also not funded in every health organization in the world.
Wow.
So in the we're lucky in the NHS in the UK that they will fund, in most cases, if you're at risk, one cycle or one for if you don't have any healthy children. But whether you get funding for a second child or anything like that is really dependent on where you are and if you're lucky to get that funding. But in Ireland, for example, a lot of people have to pay, you know, up to 10-20 grand to do that.
It's remarkable. I mean, obviously, unless that decision faces you whether to find out or not, it's difficult to know how you might act in that situation. But I hadn't considered that possibility, given the fact that we can find out, and if there is a family history, it's very easy to find out. That's striking to me.
And you also have to think, so the way Huntington's is treated, it's usually treated in neurology, but usually when people have symptoms, and that's already quite, you know, we already know there's a lot of biological and things changing before that. So they're not really being seen by clinicians or people that understand the disease,
right,
or specialist services on a regular basis, unless they're very lucky. There's little specialist services in Northern Ireland and in the Isle of Ireland, I should say. Not to what I've seen and experienced working and having the privilege to work at UCL. What that means is that these people might not even know that that's an option.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about this new study. I know you weren't involved in it, but you might talk to us a little bit about it, because it shows a little bit of hope, not to cure necessarily Huntington's, but to slow it down. What was this trial about and what did they find?
So this trial was pretty monumental in a way. It was the first gene therapy for Huntington's disease, and it was targeting the Huntington protein itself. So that's the gene that's affected, causes this protein, which ultimately becomes toxic and damages neurons and brain cells. And a gene therapy allows a drug to be kind of packaged by a virus that's been kind of deprogrammed. And the virus then can be allow the drug to be put into the brain cells and make the cells make the drug kind of for the rest of the lifetime of those cells.
Right. So essentially a sort of a medicine factory living within the neurons.
Exactly. So in this particular trial, they were injecting into a part of the brain, really deep into the brain, called the striatum. And this is the area of the brain that's most effective and affected in Huntington's. It's where a lot of the brain cell loss happens. It also relates to why we have the certain, you know, symptoms that we do. So it was a surgery that lasted 12 to 18 hours, and surgeons were able to put up to 6 electrodes into this part of the brain and slowly inject over the time this drug, the gene therapy. And what they found, so this is data from a trial that was in the early phases of trial. So it was called a phase 2 trial. They had only up to about 30 participants worldwide in certain sites. And in the UK, it was a joint effort between Cardiff, where the brain surgeons were doing the injections, and UCL, who helped recruit and do a lot of the assessments with the participants. This has been happening for a few years. So people had this drug up to 3 years ago, and they've been followed up every year since. And what was announced last week was the 3-year data of people that had the drug. And they saw that those who were on the highest dose, got the most of the gene therapy, showed up to 75% lowering of decline in HD symptoms. And that was measured with a clinical kind of combined score, which accounts for someone's ability to function in daily life, their movement symptoms, as well as their ability to think.
I mean, that's really significant, right? So targeting this protein in this way seems to work. It's very, very promising. But of course, it's only a phase two trial to check and see whether or not it's safe. The next phase will be presumably a much larger cohort, and we'll have a full idea of whether or not this might be the first drug to truly slow down Huntington's.
Yeah, so you're definitely right. There's important caveats. What isn't always clear. So the number of people on the high dose was only about 12 to 15 participants. So that 75% slowing of disease decline is only in 12 people, participants. Yeah. They're a very uniquely selected bunch of people for different criteria, but the results are consistent. So not just in this combined score, but in the individual scores, everything's going in the right way. They also looked at a biomarker that I work with called neurofilament light protein. This is an indicator of how much damage is happening to the neurons or the brain cells. So in HD, normally NFL will increase over time. And what they've shown is that the people on the drug, their levels were around baseline or below. So combining that kind of biological read that's saying that maybe this drug is helping neurons stay healthier with the clinical signs. So really positive proof of concept that this could lowering Huntington in this brain could really help HD patients, with the caveat that because it's a brain therapy, we didn't have what normally happens in trials. You have a placebo control group. So unfortunately, it wouldn't be, as you can imagine, it wouldn't be ethical to have people do a brain surgery and not get the drug. You just can't really have in this type of treatment paradigm. It just wouldn't work.
Yeah.
But we do know that placebo effect really affects how people do in these trials, particularly in Huntington's, where there's so little therapies out there. I think the hope makes people really perform a lot better than they would.
One of the questions I wanted to ask you, and it's okay if you don't want to answer, but obviously Huntington's is in your family. Is it something you tested for? Is this a therapy that might help you?
No, so I tested... got tested in 2014, and I don't carry the gene, but most of my family are still at risk, at least up to kind of 40 individuals just from my grandmother's kind of lineage, including my brother and sister.
Can I ask what it was like when you found out?
It's a weird thing to find out. And I guess it parallels kind of the experience of what people are maybe going through right now. But I grew up thinking I was going to get this disease, and then overnight your identity changes, and you know it took a while to kind of come to terms with a new future. And I think this really parallels what I've been hearing from the community and some people that are hearing these results for the first time and potentially thinking that they have a new future. And it's quite, I think it's why we need to be kind of, there's a lot of support and education and communication for the community needed right now, because even as such a great result, there's still a lot of unknowns, and it's still big news and changes that, and impacts the HD community and families a lot.
Yeah. Really fascinating study, really hopeful in a way. But as you say, it is far to go. But Dr. Lauren Byrne, Principal Investigator at the Huntington's Disease Centre, UCL, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.